thinking about this. It's isn't it good to know that in this changing world, it changes every day. We serve a God that's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, and I'm glad I've got a compass that's pointing me in the right direction. And so we're glad to be here, so thankful. And to just share a few songs with you. Hope these will be a blessing to you. These are some raw songs that Isaac and John Curl's written. Some of them are. Isaac wrote this one. This is Isaac and Jesse, Tammy and John. Did I get that right?
Well, I once was so lonely and sad so deep within. Then the Savior found me and He cleansed my soul from sin. And now I am rejoicing ever since He saved my soul. 'Cause I've got joy in Jesus. Jesus put joy in my soul. Well, I've got joy in Jesus. Jesus put joy in my soul. Since the Savior found me and Jesus made me whole. Now I'm always rejoicing and I want the world to know that I've got joy in Jesus. Jesus put joy in my soul. Sometimes I still feel lonely and my heart is filled with woe, because I'm still living in this world down here below. But when my heart gets saddened, to Him in prayer I go, and He fills my heart with gladness and He puts joy in my soul. Well, I've got joy in Jesus. Jesus put joy in my soul. Since the Savior found me and Jesus made me whole. Now I'm always rejoicing and I want the world to know that I've got joy in Jesus. Jesus put joy in my soul. So when my life is ended and my Savior I shall see, I'll bow down before Him and thanks for saving me. What joy I will be filled with, for my Savior I will see. And I'll have joy in Jesus with Him eternally. Well, I've got joy in Jesus. Jesus put joy in my soul. Since the Savior found me and Jesus made me whole. Now I'm always rejoicing and I want the world to know that I've got joy in Jesus. Jesus put joy in my soul.
Amen.
This is a song that John Carl wrote. He doesn't travel with us anymore, but we miss him and his family. He's got 6 or 7 or 8 children. I don't know.
Seven and one on the way.
Seven and one on the way. So, I've always said he's my favorite because he's got all my grandchildren. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm glad that I feel like his favorite. And this song about the prodigal. He let me come back home.
I told my father I was through, and I was leaving today to give me what was mine. I'd be on my way. There was nothing here to hold me down, and I wanted to live free. It didn't matter what he did, it didn't matter what he'd say, it wouldn't make me want to stay. Then I found myself all alone. There was no friends I could find. I was willing to eat with the swine. When the Father crossed my mind, I wondered if there was any use for me to go back home. I said, I know that I'm not worthy, and I know I don't deserve it, but could I please be your servant? He let me come back home. He saw me coming from a long ways off. He threw his arms around me, said that he forgave me. And I was in the family. He said that I was welcome, and my past had been forgotten. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter what I'd done. He let me come back home. I remember so many times how I've let my Father down. So many times I've slipped away, and a mess is all I found. There was no friends that I could see, and I felt all alone. But it didn't matter what I did, it didn't matter what I'd done, He let me come back home. He let me come back home. He saw me coming from a long ways off. He threw his arms around me, said that he forgave me, and I was in the family. He said that I was welcome. My past had been forgotten. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter what I'd done. He let me come back home. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter what I'd done. He let me come back home.
This is a song that we do some other people's songs, but this one John Carroll wrote. We appreciate John Carroll. He's a blessing, and these boys are too. And they're wonderful. Y'all are a blessing. It's good to be with y'all. We had a good time already. Good preaching, good teaching. We've just had a great time. Looking forward to more. This Jesse's going to sing this one. It's entitled, His Blood Was Plenty.
God sent His Son, the perfect Lamb, to make a way for this wretched man to be saved. Shame our sacrifice. I'm glad He came. I was not worth what it would cost. Still, my Savior paid it on that rugged cross. Well, nothing else but Your price. No one else could pay that price. My sins are meant. God's blood was plenty. He paid my price on a rugged cross. He hung and bled, and he gave his life. But on that third day, he would rise again. Then he signed my pardon, free from sin. I was not worth what it would cost. Still my Savior paid it on that rugged cross. Well, nothing else but your price. No one else could pay that price. My sins are many. God's blood was plenty. Though my sins are many, God's blood was plenty.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Wasn't that a blessing?
Amen.
I want to tell you, I was sitting there and I thought, you know, they don't come with a lot of hoopla and all this kind of thing, but they'll just speak to your heart. Amen. I mean, speak right to your heart. And I love that. I really do. Sometimes it's not the high shout that gets it. Sometimes it's good to just sit there and let it soak in every once in a while. And I thank the Lord for that. That's one of the reasons I like this family. I remember the youngest one. What was your name, brother?
Jesse.
That's right. I know Isaac. Isaac, I thought, was going to make a preacher when he was about that big. And he's all fired up, wasn't he? He still is. I seen him about to get happy there. But I remember Jesse when they were over at the camp meeting, they'd set Jesse up on the podium and let him sing something about Noah, I think, Noah's Ark or something. I don't know what it was. But I've watched them grow up. And I thank the Lord for this family. And you say, where in the world? Camp meeting. That's how I know all these people. And at the camp meeting. It's a blessing. And glad to have them with us, and they'll be singing all week. Come time for preaching, and Brother Tom Gillum, not a stranger around here, might be a stranger to some. I don't know if everybody's heard him or not. Most people are nodding their head. They have, and so you pray for Brother Tom. He is a matter of fact. My sister used to go to Brother Lawson's, and she remembers him and Miss Beth because they come out on a Sunday morning a lot. And when I walked in, she said, I know him. So I don't know if that's good.
I know her, too.
Oh, do you?
Like that Holy Ghost is dripping off on
her. You've got a Bible this morning. You'll find our text in the book of Ruth this morning. Book of Ruth. I hope you've brought a Bible with you. Extremely hard to study one if you ain't got one.
Amen.
And we thank the Lord for the privilege to be here again these days. And this beginning of the new year, it's a joy to see that the Lancasters were going to be here these days. He's talking about we know them a long time. I do know these two boys were not in existence when I started preaching for John down in Spartansburg, and two twins that are married, they were just little boys. So that's the reason why John and I've got this gray hair. So we've been fooling with Baptists too long. But it's a joy to be here and appreciate the good singing, both the Lancasters and the choir, and we thank the Lord for it. It is in my heart to hang out in the book of Ruth these five services with the thought in mind of the grace that found me, the grace that found me. I did not find grace. Grace found me. And if grace doesn't find you, you'll never find it. It was all about what he did. And in looking at this grace that found me in the book of Ruth, I'd like to, in these days, overemphasize it, if I could, to the point you would just wake up in the morning with these thoughts on your mind. That this grace is marvelous. This grace is wonderful. This grace is infinite. Matter of fact, over 300 years ago, an old slave trader, they said that he could cuss for 2 hours and never say the same cuss word. He said, "This grace is amazing. The grace that found me." Ruth is a type of the church. Boaz, a type of Christ. I want to, this morning, hang out on the thought of the reason for finding grace. The reason for finding grace. You've got the Bible there in Ruth chapter 2. There is a hallowed reason this morning. I believe that this verse is the hub on which the whole book encircles itself. Ruth, a Moabitess, has returned with Naomi to the land of bread and praise. And she meets her kinsman redeemer, a picture of Christ. And the verse is verse number 10. "Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground and said unto him," and I believe it ought to be the question on the lips of anybody that has ever been redeemed by the grace of God, is why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? It looks like from the text that Ruth has found grace. I'm assuring you, she didn't find grace. Grace found her. The grace was in his eyes, and the eyes of him showed her grace. If you've ever been saved, it's not because you found grace, it's because grace found you. And could I tell you this morning, this grace is marvelous. It's infinite. It's wonderful. That's why they've nicknamed it Amazing Grace. There is a hallowed reason. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. I was wondering if you have a finding grace story. The day grace found you. Not that you found the Lord, he had never been lost. But that he found you. It broadsided me the day grace found me. I wasn't expecting it. But grace came my way. There is a hallowed reason. And this hallowed reason, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible. That the book of Ruth would be set as the 8th book in the Bible. 8 is the number of new beginnings. I thought it was interesting the position she took when grace found her. It said in verse 10 that she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground. She's got her face in the dirt, and she's saying, "Why have I found grace in your eyes?" The 8th book, a new beginning for Ruth. If grace has ever found you, there was a new beginning for you. I thought it was interesting that this book of Ruth is set between Judges and 1 Samuel. Judges is a book that ends with they had no king, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Isn't that where we're at today? Everybody's doing what they think's right in their own eyes.
It was a time for Israel. It was a day of gloom. But 1 Samuel is the book where David comes to the throne and becomes the king. It is a book of glory, but set between gloom and glory is this book of grace. And that's where we're at today. It's a day of gloom, but God's given us His marvelous and infinite and wonderful grace they call amazing. And all we've got to wait for now is to be picked up by the King and head to glory. Oh, Jewish boy was circumcised on the eighth day. It was a new beginning. Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, built an ark and saved his eight children. The eighth note on the musical scale is the note that begins again, the musical scale. Ruth closes out this book by introducing us to the eighth son of Jesse, a man by the name of David, who was to be the king of Israel. Oh, the beginning of grace, finding a people. I praise the Lord in 1968. He come down Chesapeake, Virginia, sitting on the back row of a Baptist church, and grace found me. God's unmerited favor, the God's riches at Christ's expense. Any movement of God towards man is a movement of grace. But I love what Paul said about it. He said, "And this is the grace of God, that he who was rich for your sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might hit the mother lode of the riches of God's grace. That grace that found me has made me eternally rich." Did I tell you, I get back to the motel and sometimes I say, "Man, I wish I'd have thought about that. I would have told them, you're too good of folks. I don't want to forget to tell you that it's marvelous. It's wonderful. It's infinite. That's why they call it amazing." There is a hallowed reason that grace found you. But I notice in the text there was a historical reason for finding grace. The Bible says in chapter 1 in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the day when the judges rule, time of gloom, everybody's doing what they think's all right. Well, I tell you, this is what I think. Who gives a flip what you think? Well, this is how I feel. Who cares how you feel? All you're going to do is puke your Adamic nature up all over me. I don't care what you think or feel. I want to know what this book says." Amen. We're sitting in a day and age where everybody's doing what they think is all right. "Came to pass in the day when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Ain't got nothing to eat. And the Bible said a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. They're going to leave Bethlehem, Judah." The little phrase means the house of bread and praise. "And they're going to go down." Anytime you leave the presence of God, you can only go down. And they went down to Moab. I love that little word, Moab. One like your daddy. One like your daddy. Ruth is a Moabite. She was born out of a pedophile relationship that her daddy had with his daughter. That's how she come into this world. Boy, you could stick, man, you get that heritage thing where you stick that thing in, or spit in that little tube and send it off, and they come back, "You come out of a pedophile relationship, ain't you great? That's just exciting." Bless you, Lord. That's where she came from. And Deuteronomy 23 said, "To the 10th generation, a Moabite is cursed, damned, and must go to hell." Must go to hell. The law said, "Ruth, you got to go to hell." But this marvelous wonderful, infinite grace they call amazing is going to tell Ruth, say, hey, Ruth, I'm going to let you go to heaven.
Right.
Wow. He said in Psalm 60 that Moab was God's washpot, a bubbling place to wash all the filth of the flesh away. This is the state in which God's grace found me. The law said I was full of the filth of sin and that I must go to hell because I was like my father, the devil. Seems like someone with one eye and half a sense would realize that there are none good, no, not one. There's none innocent, there's none righteousness. But one whose eyes the grace of God has opened realize from whence they have came, God has gone down to Moab and brought them out of that field by the grace of God. Preacher, you got any idea what that grace is like? Yeah, have I told you yet? It's marvelous. It's infinite. It's wonderful. Matter of fact, they've nicknamed it. They say, it's amazing.
Amen.
It's amazing. Oh, how long I spent down in Moab in the sinful life of the flesh until in 1968, God's grace came down there and found me. And brought me to the house of bread and praise. There was a historical reason. God arranged my whole life for him to cross me. In 1968, July the 14th, sitting on the back of a Baptist pew and say, checkmate, Tom, I found you. And we're going to the house. I love the hound out of that. Well, stop right there and shout, and some of you ain't never said amen.
Amen.
But I notice not only is there a hallowed reason, a historical reason, but there's a humbling reason. There are several characters mentioned in this story. They are mentioned for a purpose because it lays the groundwork of grace to finding any sinner. One who is mentioned in verse number one, the husband of Naomi. The Bible tells us in verse number two that his name was Ahimelech. Ahimelech. His name means, my God is king. My God is king. Everything that Ahimelech did screamed against his name that my God ain't my king. That he would leave the house of bread and praise because he was having a little noise in his stomach to go down to the place of where the pedophile relationship of a man with his daughter was birthed. Oh, he denied his own name. He was probably serving the god of religion, easily laid aside for a little bowl of pottage. I was wondering this morning, you that say you're saved. Oh yeah, preacher, bless God, I'm saved. I'm on the way to glory. I'm a Christian. You live up to that name?
Bless the Lord.
The word Christian, Christ-like. I was wondering tonight, just being honest, Christ-like. I'm a Christian, preacher, Christ-like. Could I ask you a question? What would Christ do at 6 o'clock tonight?
Bless the Lord.
Hello. I don't think he'd stay at home and take care of himself. He'd even get out at night. Are you listening to me? Are you living up to your name? Ahimelech did not live up to his name. I thought this was interesting. In verse number 3, Ahimelech and Naomi's husband, there's an interesting word. Died. Wow. Did you know that in the generations of the first Adam that was married to Eve, everyone in his generation in Genesis 5, and they died, and they died, and they died. Did you know in Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogies of Jesus, none of them ever died? They're all still living. Wow. I say, well, how in the world did they get to do that, preacher? Because this grace is marvelous. It's wonderful. It's infinite. That's why they call it amazing. I noticed, too, in this chapter, in this humble reason, there were two sons. The Bible says in verse number 4, they took themselves wives of the women of Moab. Says in verse number 5, one was named Mahlon. The other one was named Shelon. Thought it was interesting. Mahlon's name means sickly unto death. Sickly unto death. I don't believe it speaks of a physical sickness either. I believe it speaks of a spiritual sickness. If you're here this morning and grace has never found you, you're as good as in hell right where you sit. Good as where you sit. You're already dead in God's eyes. Are you listening to me? Shelon's name means pining and wasting away. It says here that they began in verse number 1 to sojourn in the country of Moab. Imhotep told them, say, hey, listen, we're just going to go down there. We're going to stay a couple of weeks and we'll get our bellies full. We're coming back. We're just going to be strangers down there. We ain't going to get into all that crowd down there. They crazy people. They're Moabites. They have relationships with their kids. They're crazy. We're not going to get hooked up into that crowd. We're just going to go down there long enough to get something to eat. We're just going to sojourn there. The Bible says in verse 4, and they took them, gracious, they done fell in love with a couple of gals down there, and they done got married. The Bible tells us in verse 4, they lived down there for 10 years. They done built them a house down there. Are you listening to me? I thought this was interesting. The Bible says in verse 5, and Mahlon and Shelon, ruh-roh, died. It's always a biblical mark of a lost person. And they died. I was wondering this morning what your relationship with this world is. Are you in the world, but not of the world? Are you in touch with the world, but not entangled with the world? Do you love the world, but you're not in love with the world? Are you stepping through this world, but you're not in step with this world? Jesus moved through this world, but this world never moved through Him. One who has been touched by the grace of God will not entangle himself. Oh, he's touched by the world and all of its needs, but he never is entangled with all that it is doing. And they died. And notice another one in this chapter. The Bible tells us one of the wives' name, verses 14, was a gal by the name of Ophar. Interesting name. Her name means gazelle-like. One with a spirit of running. Gazelle-like. She is the one who is offered to go back to Bethlehem, Judah, with Naomi and Ruth. And she did something very strange, and I fear maybe some sitting here this morning has done the same thing. She kissed the door of grace and turned around and ran back home on her way to hell. Kissed the door of grace, turned and went to hell. I thought it was interesting. Mahlon and Chilion and Ahimelech died, and Ophir is never mentioned again in the Bible. So it'll be with you this, if you die without grace, nobody will ever mention you again. You're done. I notice another character in this book, a lady by the name of Naomi. The Bible says in verse 2, and the name of the man was Ahimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. Her name means God's delight. When the messenger comes down there with a message of grace, he's not looking for this one or that one. He's not looking for an Ahimelech or a Chilion or a Mahlon. He's looking for his delight. Finds old Naomi. And I notice another one that's mentioned in this book in verse 16. And Ruth, her name means friendship. Oh, Ruth was a friend of God and grace. She found grace in God's eyes. This is big. I don't even know if you can get this or not. It may be way over your head. Ahimelech died. Mahlon died. Chilion died. No mention of Ophir anymore. You search your Bible high and low. There is no biblical record where Naomi or Ruth ever died. They're still alive today in a land that is fairer than they. They're as much alive right now as they have ever been. Well, how in the world do they get to live forever? Because this grace is wonderful. It's marvelous. It's infinite. That's why they call it amazing.
Amen.
There's a humbling reason. I notice there's a helpless reason in the text. Here, Naomi is left in a helpless state. She's got a husband that is dead. Got two sons that are dead. She's got three graves on the hillside. You know, I got to thinking, God don't mind killing a bunch of people to get to one. You listening to me this morning? He didn't mind killing Ahimelech. He didn't mind killing Mahlon. He didn't mind killing Chilion in order to get to Ruth. He wouldn't mind killing you if you're in between him and him finding somebody but grace. He'll go to any extent to show that grace to that individual. Here Naomi has been left with three graves on a hillside. She's helpless. No one to take care of her. There's no widow program down in Moab. There's no welfare down in Moab. They're going to starve to death. And ain't nobody going to have anything to Ruth to do. How come? She's a Jew lover. She's done married a Jew boy. Let her take care of herself. Helpless. But I find when you're helpless, I hear people all the time say, well, God helps those that help themselves. That's a lie. God ain't never helped somebody help themselves. Only people God helps is those that can't help themselves. He'll arrange it where you can't help yourself so that you'll cry out to him for some help. So they're in a helpless state when God's grace finds them. Could I say this and I'm done? Probably some of you think I should have been done a long time ago, but I am real close to being done now. Of course, you know, you got to watch when a preacher says they're almost done. My little dental hygienist not long ago, she had to set her instruments down and crack up. I've got a tooth that's real sensitive, and she seems like she spends all her time cleaning that tooth. Even when I think she's about done, she'll go back there again. And she said, I'm almost done. I said, is that like a preacher almost done? I thought she'd crack up. But I noticed there is a hopeful reason for finding grace. The Bible says in verse 3, and Ahimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left. Very interesting word, left. To leave, watch this, to leave as a gift for another to find. Wow. Can you imagine the likes of me and the likes of you was left as a gift for Jesus to find? Oh, my word. You mean we were a gift? Yeah. Jesus said in John 17, God the Father gave Jesus power to give a life, eternal life, to those that thou hast given him. When did God the Father give me as a gift to God the Son? It was before the foundation of the world. He left me as a gift for Jesus to find and for me to find grace in his eyes. And that grace, my friend, is marvelous, wonderful, it's infinite. That's why they call it amazing. It makes me want to say this. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love with me. I want to say with the old cussing slave trader, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved, that grace that found me. I was wretched. I was lost. I was dwelling in Moab. And he came and made me a resident eternally of the house of bread and praise. Did I tell you yet? It's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's infinite. That's why they call it amazing. It's yours, preacher.
Bestowed on us. We have been through a lot, and me and Miss Jan was actually sitting and talking yesterday, and I don't know anybody that has God keeps in line more than he does me. And I was talking and someone else, and I said, well, we started dealing with the fact that we would not be together on the first time that cancer was mentioned in our life when she was 35. And then had surgery for the cancer, then surgery again, surgery again, surgery again, and now we're at a different place. And to know what God is doing now. And, you know, the latest thing, and I said this on Wednesday night, is she has to have a bone marrow biopsy. And you say, what's all that about? It's God's grace. Because without them doing that, they can't find out what the problem is. And it's by the grace of God. That's why yesterday when I made the one call is, my, how good God is. How good he's been. It's by his grace that we live and have our being. Things may not be going well for you, but I guarantee you, if you'll keep looking, you'll see the grace of God. He will not forsake his own. He will not turn his back on his own. this morning this message, and I can only anticipate the rest of them, but these are designed to speak to your heart. Some things he says brings out the life in me, I can tell you that. But it's designed to speak to your heart. Just soak it in. Soak it in. Because this is going to be medicine for you in the time to come. It's going to be medicine. And I am nowhere the strong warrior, especially that I used to be. But yet it's by the grace of God that we can fight another day and that we can stay right where God puts us. I just prayed yesterday, matter of fact, and prayed this morning. God, I'm still on the battlefield. I'm still here. Out of all the times, and I told our doctor this past week, I said, I don't know why that it keeps trying to make me be alone. Things just keep trying to happen to make me be alone. But God always comes to the rescue. I'm still out on the battlefield. I'm still fighting. I haven't given up, and I won't give up. And can I challenge you as a Christian, as a child of God? He spoke about Christians. As a child of God, can I challenge you to stay on the battlefield?
Amen.
You don't ever get too old to fight in the battle.
Amen.
And you don't ever get too feeble to fight in the battle. They say there's not much I can do. Yes, there is. There is. You just got to find it. Don't give up. I want you to stand to your feet as they sing the invitation song this morning. And I pray that God has spoke to you. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the remaining days and evenings of the revival. I want you to pray that God will use it. Now, I know you. Everybody can look around and see somebody that's usually sitting next to you or whatever. They're not here this morning. Don't pray for that one to get out of the service this morning because they didn't hear that. Wednesday night, we brought a message on the tongue out of James. Brother Glenn even wrote a song that goes along with it. He sung it Wednesday night. I looked at the congregation that was here. I said, I am sorry, but the rest of the people are not here, but you've got to take this. This is good for you. And so then this morning, this is good for you. So I want them to sing. If God is impressed on you, please come. There's help. God's got help.
Paul prayed unto the Lord, him to take away his thorn. All three times he prayed, the Lord's answer stayed the same. My grace is sufficient. Sufficient for you. A preacher on his deathbed with cancer in his body prayed for God to heal him, but healing never came. Instead, he got the answer. You. discouraged, don't give up the faith. No matter how hard it gets, no matter the storms in your life, just remember what he said. My grace is sufficient.
Is sufficient, and I thank the Lord that it is when it does.